over the past few weeks, I have had more and more people asking me whether or not I think the end of times is here. I've heard that from some that I'm sure really don't know, because they don't know much about God and religion, and they are suddenly terribly interested in knowing what they might have missed. But I've also heard that question from people that I thought would not be that unclear about the creation in which we live. So I thought it might be high time to preach about the angry God, the God that we fear will come to punish people, maybe promiscuous people, maybe gay people, maybe Muslims or school kids, or maybe country music fans. I don't know. There seems to be a long list of people that folks, that others believe, are deserving of severe punishment. But right now, some people fear that God thinks we all are, all of us, deserving of deadly force. I do not believe that. I believe that God is a loving God who sent his own Son to tell us that he loves us and wants us to have a wonderful life and to live in accord. That does not mean that people don't do horrendous things. I'm just heartbroken by the massacre in Las Vegas and the killings in Paris. As I have been by the horribly violent things that have happened in the past or in other places when someone, for whatever reason, has brutally murdered innocent people, some children who are just beginning their lives. I cannot fathom this man in Las Vegas or any of the other perpetrators being instruments that God would use for any reason to do the work that he wants done. I believe that lots of people, for more reasons than we can imagine, are suffering from mental, emotional, physical, and psychological stresses that are simply beyond their ability to handle. For some of them, the only outlet they consider is violence. Violence doesn't solve their problem unless they want to commit suicide, but don't have the courage to do it themselves. Violence doesn't make things better for them at all, other than for the brief moment when they feel the power that that weapon gives them. Even the unimaginable battle of words that the leaders of North Korea, Iran, and the United States are engaged in right now about who's the most powerful with their nuclear weapons would ultimately only lead to about a 30-minute feeling of invincible strength before we would be left with massive destruction. I do not believe that this is God's plan. In fact, I do not think God wants anyone to feel so inadequate that he or she would risk annihilating the whole creation rather than to be found wanting. I'm not sure God even understands the world that we live in, where money is everything, and people are merely little pawns that can be shoved around wherever someone rich and powerful wants them to go. That is certainly not the world that God wants. After all, didn't Jesus say that it will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? Let's just consider the parable in today's gospel for a moment. Let's assume that the vineyard is the world. God is the landlord, and we are all his tenants. It's easy enough to see that the first emissaries that he sent are the prophets, and even easier to see that the son he sent to us was his own son, Jesus. There is no reason whatsoever to believe that after we were so violent, killing the prophets and the apostles and his son Jesus, that we would ever inherit the vineyard. That is, unless God imagines that we will grow into people who can understand and cherish his creation. God has given us the tools that we need in order to work his vineyard. He has given us love and compassion, a willingness to try to become more and more like him. We have been given a desire to have the heart of God and love for all people. Only when we learn to live together with one mind and one heart will we ever earn the right to live in his vineyard. Now, I want to do something that I rarely do, but I want to share with you Bishop Lee's words concerning the tragedy in Las Vegas. It has become cliched at moments such as these to offer thoughts and prayers. But as Christians, we must reflect upon the mass killings that unfold with such regularity in this country. And we must pray for the victims, for their loved ones, for all who attended to the victims in the immediacy of the shooting, for the first responders who do so much to mitigate the awful effects of these shootings, and for the medical personnel who will labor for many days to save the wounded. We must also enter into the sorrow of those who are most deeply affected by our country's frequent outbursts of lethal violence. We must look into our own hearts and examine the ways in which we are culpable or complicit in the gun violence that surrounds us every day. And then, having looked, we must act. As Christians, we are called to engage in the debates that now shape Americans, how Americans live and die, especially when they die due to violence and neglect. Yet a probing conversation on issues of gun violence continues to elude us as a nation. And this failure is cause for repentance and for shame. It is entirely reasonable, in the wake of mass killings perpetrated by murderers with assault weapons, to ask lawmakers to remove such weapons from civilian hands. It is imperative to ask why, as early as this week, Congress is likely to consider, if not pass, a bill making it easier to buy silencers, a piece of equipment that makes it more difficult for law enforcement officials to detect gunfire as shootings are unfolding. Even as we hold our lawmakers accountable, though, we must acknowledge that a comprehensive solution to gun violence, whether it comes in the form of mass shootings, street violence, domestic violence, or suicide, will not simply be a matter of changing laws, but of changing lives. Our country is feasting on anger that fuels rage, alienation, and loneliness. From the White House to the halls of Congress to our own town and perhaps at our own tables, we nurse grudges and resentments rather than cultivating the respect, concern, and affection that each of us owes to the other. The leaders who should be speaking to us of reconciliation and the justice that must precede it, too often instead stoke flames of division and mistrust. We must, as a nation, embrace prayerful resistance before our worst impulses consume us. Let us join with the people of God in fervent prayer that our country will honor those murdered and wounded in Las Vegas by joining in acts of repentance, healing, and public conversation about the gun violence that has ripped us apart yet again. Amen.